All right, we're going to start without the music. And we usually have pressure music. It's called Pressure. It's a great song. It's a great hip hop song. And we usually start the show that way. But guys, it's not working. And I'll have to figure out how to fix this. I'm not a technical guy. But man, and that's my favorite song. But anyway, you guys are not going to get to hear it. You have to listen to a different episode. And Hadley will have to listen to a different episode to hear that song. But we're going to start the show anyway. It's your boy C-Rock here in That One Studio on the What He Made Up show. We're here to share the journey to success that's often invisible. And I just want to continue this journey with you all because I don't want you to be feeling like you're by yourself when you go through setbacks or discouragements or things don't go the way you expect them to. I know it can feel isolated and lonely, and it's not the case. You're not alone. Everybody goes through it. But the ones that succeed are the persistent ones. And that's what we keep proving on the show. So today I have Hadley Garrison in the building with us. She's a holistic health and life coach who helps high achievers optimize their health and mindset so they have the energy, confidence, and capacity to finally achieve their dreams. She's an international speaker on holistic wellness and behavior change. She also co-hosts the successful Holistic Inner Balance podcast and has been featured in tons of publications. She's got degrees and everything. We'll talk about that stuff later. Let's just welcome her to the show. What's up, Hadley?
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, well, gratitude to you. Thank you for being here. And I'm looking forward to finding out what you're made of. So let's start the show the right way and ask you that question. What are you made of?
Totally. I was thinking about this for a long time. and I think there are two things really that I've kind of cultivated and also feel like I was kind of born with. But the first thing is an enthusiasm for life and a joy for life. And the second thing is a really deep desire for impact and service. So just, you know, serving others on the largest scale and also on the deepest level that I possibly can.
That's awesome. Well, where do you think that came from?
I definitely credit it to my parents. I was just telling you before we started, my dad has always been into personal development. He actually started listening to cassette tapes in high school, way back when. And so he's been into that forever. And, you know, he got my mom into that too. And they were high school sweethearts. So, you know, they've always been into that personal development and just finding joy in life and finding purpose in life as well. My mom has really instilled in me that desire for impact and that desire for service. And she always told me, she was like, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. You have the capacity to be able to make a difference in so many other people's lives. And so that has been a goal of mine since maybe early high school, late middle school, where I was like, I always wanted to be able to speak on large stages and impact people in a really deep way.
So, and I love that, but did you ever get annoyed by your parents being in personal development and then bringing it into the home and then preaching? Cause I do that. And my kids, and my son won't read anything I ask him to read. But then I'll see it in them though. I'll see it in them and I'll see them responding certain ways or, you know, when I'm not involved. But did you ever get annoyed?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yes. I was interested in some of it, but there were I remember my parents would as a punishment, they would make me read stuff, or they would while I was raking leaves, it was my chore was to rake leaves and also to listen to Tony Robbins on a podcast, on my little iPod, way back when. And so it was, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows by any means, but it totally impacted me on a deep level. And I've even talked to my husband, recently, where he's like, yeah, I never really had someone tell me that there, that I could do whatever I, set my mind to. I've never had someone say that before. And I think that's the case for most people, but it surprised me because I grew up with that. So it was so, and he had great parents too. He had wonderful parents. They were awesome. And they weren't telling him, you can do whatever, And so that personal development lean that my parents had made such a deep impact on me. And it makes me want to, just do as much as I can for the world.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. I wake up every morning obsessed with service and helping people, man. And if I'm not, you know, on the weekends, sometimes when there's not a lot going on for what I'm doing for work, whatever, like, I just don't feel right. I'm like, I got to do something. I got to figure out, I got to find a place to speak. I got to have a soapbox or a pulpit or something. What is your favorite part about personal development? Like, what's the one concept or something that's really sticks out to you?
I think recently I've been getting more into really being as authentic and true to ourselves as we possibly can be. I think, you know, the traditional route of personal development, like the old school route, was like, you know, kind of like the grind and hustle. And I'm really into alignment and aligning to what is it that I actually want. And I'm really into energy management rather than time management, because I think that's kind of the old school model. Now I'm really into how can we actually do more, like spend as much of our time as we possibly can doing things that light us up, that bring us more energy and more fulfillment, and just get rid of the stuff that's not doing as much, because we then are able to get so much more done in our lives, rather than it being like, you know, a lot of times we think that time, that a task that takes the same amount of time will take the same amount of energy, but that's not true at all. And so when we're doing a bunch of tasks throughout our day that don't bring us energy or that drain our energy, by the end of the day, we're going to be sitting on the couch watching whatever show, eating whatever thing that doesn't make us feel good, because we're just trying to zone out of our lives. And so energy management brings in that, the idea of, okay, how can I actually feel lit up as much as I possibly can in my life? And then life, and then that brings in my enthusiasm for life and my joy and all of that, because it's like, once we have that, then life gets to be a lot more exciting.
Isn't it sad that people go through life trying to escape their daily life?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been there before. You know, I just, when I was in my 20s, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, I think that's where I stopped. But like, you know, where's the next party? You know, every day we drink that night, you know, yep. Got into drugs. Like, you know, it's crazy. I think about back at that time and I just didn't have a purpose, a solidified purpose that I was going for every day. And I think totally. That's where it stems from. Like, what do you see when you're working with people and doing your research on what, you know, you're studying and all that? Like, do you notice that it all centers around people's lack of intentional purpose?
Yeah, I resonate a ton as well, because, you know, I grew up with all of this amazing personal development, and, you know, I went to college and I was in a sorority, and it was all about, you know, partying. And at the same time, the school that I went to was very like, the mentality was very like, work hard, play hard. It was like, you know, high achievers, but at the same time, it was like, you know, get all your stuff done and then you can go party. And there was no rest. It was not work hard, play hard, rest hard. It was just work hard, play hard. And so I burned myself out a ton, because I was, you know, working really hard on things that I didn't really care about that much, right? Like, you know, I was really interested in my psychology degree, but some of the classes that I was taking, you know, I wasn't actually that interested in a lot of those. You know, some of them I was, and I was really focusing on the grade. I wasn't focusing on the process. I wasn't enjoying the process of learning, right? I was just like, I got to get this grade, and then, you know, go and numb. And I would party, but also, you know, this is some, I forget who said this, but, someone, there's a quote that's like, the good girl's drug is food. And that was me. So it was, you know, major deprivation binge cycles, where it was like, I would, you know, be so quote unquote good for so long, and then I would binge. Yeah. And it was a numbing strategy. It was a coping, you know, mechanism for, you know, not really liking life. And that was, you know, like you said, that I think it was when I was around 21, that was definitely the darkest year of my life with, you know, depression and lots and lots of health issues. So I think to your point, when we don't have that sense of purpose, that sense of passion, we can start to really devolve into that numbing, into that, like, or even if we do have a sense of like, I should be doing more, a lot of times we do the shoulding, shoulding ourselves. And then we numb because we're not doing as much as we think we should be doing, or that we think we maybe have the capacity for. We're like, I could be so much more than this, right? And so that's a really big piece of what I help my clients do, is figure out how to break it down into really small actionable steps, while also maintaining that, like, you have big dreams, but you don't have to achieve the big dreams today. There are just small incremental steps that you can do over time to achieve those. And then the other things fall away, the like numbing things.
What about this? Because I deal with this sometimes. Like, you know, we realize how short life is, and we are confronted with death of close family members, friends, or what have you, or we get a taste of a near-death experience or something, right? And we start to realize that life is so short. Right. And then there's a sense of urgency that we, and I think this is a good performance thing too, is to have this sense of urgency. But how do we balance that out with patience?
Totally. I think you're right that a piece of that urgency is definitely like, it keeps us going, and it can feel really, if we have the right amount of it, that can feel really good. It can feel like, okay, yeah, I'm pursuing this. And at the same time, if we have too much of that, then it makes that either the burnout, or we go into the numbing things because we're like, well, I'm not achieving it as quickly as I want to. So I think what it comes down to is figuring out how you can actually enjoy the process and enjoy the day-to-day actions that you want to take in order to, you know, pursue whatever it is that you want to pursue. So it's coming back to, what do I want my day today? You know, what do I want my days this week to actually look like? And how can I do that right now in a way that maybe is pursuing this purpose, this passion, this thing that I want, this goal, but it's not necessarily only in pursuit of the goal. It's, I get to have the life that I want to have right now. How can I choose to have the life that I want to have today? So maybe today I want to be speaking on large stages, right? You know, like the two of us, that's big dreams for us. I want to be speaking on large stages. What can I do today that is, you know, sort of a taste of that? Okay, maybe I need to go live on Instagram every day, or maybe I need to create, you know, YouTube videos every day, or whatever it might be, or do podcasts. What is it that is going to actually light me up in pursuit of this goal? So you don't have to pursue the goal in a way that feels like super draining. You can do it in a way that actually feels like each step of the way lights you up.
Incremental. Yeah. 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 And it's compounds, snowballs. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Ellen Langer?
No, I haven't.
I didn't either until today. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I was my buddy, Brian Smith. I call him my buddy because I just read his book and I connected with him, and he's awesome. And he wrote a book called Arete, and it's brand new. And today on his Instagram, he's talking about Ellen Langer and the psychology of possibility versus, you know, analyzing what's going on with someone or their past or this and that, but focusing on the psychology of possibility from a health and wellness perspective. Have you approached what you do from that point of view of what's possible, not what can be done or what has been done, but what's possible?
Oh my gosh. 100%. Yes. I think that's like sort of the old paradigm of, you know, and even that's even how psychology works, is that our subconscious mind is essentially running on old systems, old patterns, outdated things, right? And so a lot of times that's what I do with my clients, is dig into the subconscious of like, okay, you're doing this thing, you've been doing this pattern over and over and over again. So the first step is identifying the pattern, but then we can start to break out of this. And to to do that, we have to identify that there is a possibility for something different. I was actually just watching, it's like a new Christmas movie that came out last year. It's with Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds, called Spirited. And the whole premise is like, can people change? Right? And I love it. Like, I mean, I love Will Ferrell. He's like my favorite.
Me too.
My favorite actor of all time. Not even just comedian. Love him so much. And you know, the message, especially, you know, at the end, I won't ruin anything for you, but it's like, we can actually, as human beings, the mind is plastic, and the mind is actually, you know, able to be molded and changed. And something that I really focus on with my clients as well is behavior change. And the science of behavior change says that as we shift our identity and our behaviors, we kind of have to do it synonymously, because it's kind of a feedback loop, but then we can absolutely change ourselves. And we then automate our habits. We automate things so that, you know, I don't have to think about waking up and going to the gym in the morning. I don't have to think about, you know, meditating. I don't have to think about any of that stuff, because that's just woven into the fabric of my life. And that frees up my mental capacity. So I'm not trying for those things anymore. It just frees up my mental capacity to be able to do all the things that I really want to do. So to answer your question, yes, I think the science of possibility is, I think it would be doing a major, major, major disservice to anyone to come from a place of like, well, you've never experienced that before, so you're probably never going to be able to experience it in the future, right? It's all about possibility.
Yeah, I love it. All right, you just recently moved to Southern California. What was the purpose? Like, why did you go there?
I actually, for the past 3 years, have been digital nomading. And it's been fun. I've been traveling around Europe and went to Mexico for a little bit, been traveling around the US. But I realized that I really wanted to settle down in one place to focus on my purpose, to really dive deeper into my desire for impact, my desire for service. And I had been to San Diego, before, a couple times before, and I actually spent a winter here a couple years ago. And during the depths of COVID, we got out of Seattle because we were like, oh my gosh, winter is coming.
Yeah.
Came down to San Diego. And, so my husband and I were like, that's the only place we would want to be in within the US, at least. That's like, that's where we would want to be. And since moving here, everything has, like, the community that we've tapped into, everything feels so aligned, and just like everyone's on the same page with us that we've met. And it's just like such an amazing place.
That's huge. That's huge, by the way, because I've moved places with my wife and we just didn't work like that.
Yes.
And it's like, the place could be awesome, but the community, oh man, it's just like such a big part of it.
Such a big part of it. And that's like one of my values in life is community, and like cultivating that sense of community with people that you kind of just like, you just like click with when you meet them. You know, there's not like, I've met people who have the exact same interests as me that we, like on paper, we should be a perfect match to be friends, but it's just not there.
Right.
And so finding that has been such a blessing. And that's actually the program that I coach my clients in, is a group program, because I think the group aspect is so important for, number one, for change, but also for just feeling like you are fully supported by other people as well. Because so many of us are not supported in our day-to-day lives, you know, by our family, by our friends, in our pursuit of growth. You know, we're the weirdos.
Yeah, 100%. And so now when you're working with your clients, how would you approach, if you're working with a client and they have a partner or spouse and they're like, I want to get better. Like we're talking about, we're the weirdos, but my husband doesn't.
Yeah.
Or like, how do you guide them and, you know, working with that to get the, you know, like they could have the conversation with their husband, like, don't you want to get better? Like, are you doing anything better? But then it could be taken offense. Like, how do you advise them on that?
Oh my gosh. I love this question, because I get it all the time, especially with my clients who are like, I want my spouse to, you know, change.
And
whatever.
I brought it up because you made that point. Like we are oddballs, and we're not really oddballs. They're the oddballs, the people that don't want to get better. Like that's weird to me.
I know, it's so bizarre to me too. But it is cool because I think a lot more people are waking up to the fact that life can be different. I think a lot of times we've just been so conditioned that life can't be different. And that's why we don't want to change, because it's like, well, you know, if I change, there's no way I can change, right? That's what this movie Spirited is all about, is like, you know, someone, one of them thinks that no one can change and one of them thinks that, you know, people can change. It's great. So my advice to my clients who are, you know, are working on this stuff, and it's really cool to see this happen, is to not really bring it up unless you're bringing it up to ask them for support in your change, and to just continue to do the work in changing whatever it is that you're wanting to change. In my case, it's with my clients. A lot of times it's specific habits. You not needing your partner to actually do the habits. You might need to have some conversations around like, hey, so I'm going to be doing this a little bit differently. If you could just like, maybe not ask me to have ice cream with you at like 11 PM, that would be great. But asking like little favors like that. And then once they start to do this work, their partner 9 times out of 10 will be like, what are you doing? That's working for you. And they start to shift things as well. Maybe they don't do exactly what you're doing, but they start to change some of the things that they're doing. And then like for me, my husband, he, you know, we met in college. We met during those days of just partying and all of that. And he has now pursued his own path of development because he saw me changing in all of those ways. And he hasn't changed in the exact same ways as me, but he's pursuing his own path of personal development, self-development, health, all of that kind of thing, because I've just normalized it. It's just how we live now. And so if you can do that for yourself, and a lot of times we get so hung up on like, it would be so much easier if, you know, if they did it too, but that's putting the onus on someone else. And, you know, maybe that's true that would be the case, that it would be easier if your spouse was doing the same things as you. And that's, you know, trying to get someone to change when they don't want to change is a loser's game.
Yeah, 100%. And what about, have you had clients that, when they start to do the work and they start to change, their partner gets insecure?
Yes.
And then they pull away from it because, you know, and they try to pull them back down. Like, mm-hmm. Have you had that? And then what do you advise them on that?
Absolutely. I see this. So I don't see it as often with partners, though it absolutely can happen with partners. I see it a lot with friends and a lot with family, like family of origin, where they're like, what are you doing? You're like deserting me. Mm-hmm. Or you've changed, which
I don't even recognize you. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, you've changed. And so therefore that's a bad thing. Right. What I, you know, sometimes we need to shed friendships and it's uncomfortable. I was actually just, funnily enough, I was just journaling about this last night about how my friendships, like I don't have that many friends. I'm not close with my friends from college anymore because yep. I just drifted away. It doesn't have to be. So a lot of times people think like, oh, I need to like end this relationship because they're not doing the same things as me. Or I need to tell the friend like, you're not, you know, supporting me in my journey of development or my journey of health or whatever. And so therefore I'm breaking up with this friendship, right? This like friendship breakups. I don't think that necessarily needs to happen. But as you just get more and more in alignment with what you actually want and you say no to the things that you don't want, that rift might happen. I have had some people in my programs, you know, split up with their partners over, not necessarily over that, but just they've changed so much and the other partner is no longer compatible with that change. Usually that only happens if if coming in, they had an inkling of that. Usually it's not going to be like, you know, you have like a wonderful relationship and then you come into my program and then you like change a bunch of things about yourself. And then your partner is just like, you know, screw you. That usually if there's some semblance of like support and love there, that doesn't happen. Usually what happens is they get lifted up as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. All right. So now let's finally wrap this up with podcasting. Cause I want to get to podcasting. So, cause that's my favorite thing.
That's why
I say, finally, let's talk about podcasting. The other stuff's important, by the way. Oh, before I do podcasting, I wanted to talk to you about Michael Singer. Have you heard of Michael Singer before, the surrender experience or experiment? Yes.
Yeah.
So what is your experience with surrendering and the power of surrendering?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to talk about podcasting finally.
I love that. So surrender has been a lifelong journey for me, especially with like parents who are super like personal development, all of the stuff, we can change our reality, we can do all these things. Yep. And at the same time, actually, we need to detach from the outcome. We need to surrender in order for these things to come to fruition in a way that feels fulfilling. And the only way that we can actually experience, so I've been someone who likes control, right? And I've realized that the only way that we can actually experience delight is to not be in control. The only way that we can experience that sense of like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting. That's so like that sense of delight is if something is a surprise. It has to be a surprise. It can't be premeditated. It can't be something that we have planned out. And so I think surrender engenders delight. And surrender is one of my favorite things to kind of like delve into. I'm very spiritual, and surrendering to like the universe, God, source, whatever you want to call it, has been, especially in the past probably like 2 years, something that I've been really, really focused on.
Yeah, you know, and what you just said, whatever you want to call it. I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I say that a lot too. I'm like, you know, whatever you, and I, but like, what's wrong with being convicted on what we believe and say God, and then it is what it is? Like, why do I feel like sometimes I have to say like, because does that take away from my faith?
I love that. I was actually thinking about that the other day. I was like, should I just call it God?
Yeah.
I guess for me, sometimes it shifts. Like personification of it, but like, you know, sometimes I think about it as more of this like universe, like big thing. Sometimes I think of it more as like, I have a relationship with God. So I think it just changes for me. Yeah. And I tend to hold I was talking to my husband about this the other day. I tend to hold my beliefs, loosely. I think some people are very convicted, and I'm just not as convicted about my beliefs.
Yeah. Learning more and
I just, and I don't think there's right or wrong. I think some people have that conviction, and we need people in the world to have that conviction. And I think that I just don't hold my beliefs that tightly.
Yeah. And well, I thought it's, you know, when I was thinking about it, I just don't want to be a pleaser. Like, I want to lean into who I am so much and just be me and be that one. That's what this is all about. Like, be that one that I attract the people that it vibes with, and the other people, it actually repels them.
Totally.
So like, I just don't want to be a pleaser. So I want to make sure when I was doing that I wasn't trying to just appease people. You know, I want to be respectful and considerate of people, but not to the point where I sacrifice my conviction and belief, you know, if I'm anyway. So let's talk about podcasting. You have a podcast. Tell us about your podcast and tell us about the importance that you've seen with having one, but more importantly, going on shows as a guest.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think podcasting for me it's one of my favorite things to do as well. I think that especially in the world that we are currently in, most everything else has become shorter and more like and quicker, but podcasting hasn't, which is so, so cool to me. Like, we get to have these conversations that are more nuanced. Right? We get to have like, okay, well, yeah, for me, maybe I'm not as convicted. For you, maybe you are more convicted about this thing, and that's totally great. And I think we lose a lot of that nuance with social media, with all of the other modalities. And I think podcasting is, I think that's why it's my favorite modality. It's my favorite modality to listen to because it's conversational even more than listening to books. Like I used to mostly just listen to books. Now I just really like that conversational piece. And I think also it lends to getting to know the person, listening to a podcast, it lends to getting to know the person. And also it lends to getting to hear about like how to implement this stuff in our actual day-to-day lives rather than everything as like a concept.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of bullshit, on Instagram and like all this content you flip through. And I just saw another dude, my wife sent me, it said, stop eating broccoli. This is how bad it is for you. Da, 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 whatever. And then there's all the comments of like dietitians, nutritionists, like this is the most bullshit post, this and that. And you're like, you see both sides of it now. And but some people would scroll and see that and stop eating broccoli altogether. And it's my wife sent that to me and I'm like, did you read the comments too? Like, we always say this, like, they say this, this, well, who the hell's they?
They.
Somebody, you know, so yeah, podcasting gets a little in more deep, you know, depth, you know, and then you can make better decisions off the information and content. So, all right, great. Well, look, I want to thank you for being here, Hadley. Where can people find more about you?
Yeah, you can, mostly I'm on Instagram as well as my podcast, but my Instagram is Happy Healthy Hadley, and Hadley is spelled H-A-D-L-E-E. And basically any social media place, it's Happy Healthy Hadley on there. So you can find me anywhere, including YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. My podcast is called Holistic Inner Balance. If you want to come check us out, my co-host and I talk about all things mental health as well as physical health and how they interact with each other and impact each other.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. Hang tight while I wrap this up. And guys, listen, keep coming back. We got a lineup of guests that you just wouldn't believe. And, you know, it doesn't get any better than Hadley, of course. But we have people that are almost as good as Hadley as a guest coming on the show here in the future. And I just want to thank everybody for being here and the time and attention you spend here, whether you're watching or listening, however you're consuming this content. Make sure you rate, subscribe, share this information, or I'm sorry, this show with other people, and just keep coming back. It's your boy C-Rock from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Until next time, be that one. Now.